The word is your help.
Amen.
Amen. You know, God, here we get born again. You know, Caleb started kindergarten this year, and when he went to school, it's foreign, it's unknown, there's challenges that are going to happen there, there's different things that he's never experienced, and new people, a different environment. Well, when he went and we left him to go that day, we set him up with the most success possible. Got him the right school supplies, right, that were on the list. Sent him to school with the right stuff. Sent him to school with the right clothing, right? Sent him to school with the right snack, with the right lunch, the right backpack, right? Different things like that. Why? We wanted to set him up for success. Why? We're his parents. We love him, right? We didn't want to send him with a half-filled list, and all these other kids are pulling out their stuff, and then he doesn't have it and has to wonder, and don't want to send him to school with the inappropriate clothing and, you know, make it so he's hungry during the day. No, we set him up for success because we love him. Well, God, when we got born again, we stayed down here. And God set us up for success by leaving us his word. And if you don't know it, I'm here to tell you, everything that you need in life to be successful, that's on the list for life, God gave it to you. If it's financial, it's in here. If it's physical, it's in here. If it's emotional, it's in here. If it's spiritual, it's in here. If it's about fear and worry and anxiety and stress, it's in here. If you need a miracle, it's in here. Hallelujah. Why? He loves you. He set you up with the best, the word. Hallelujah. So life-changing stuff about to take place today, like always in this place. We're thankful for this place. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we'll start. Let's pray and believe God for utterance this morning. We want what he wants. You don't need the opinions of man or the philosophies or ideas or theories of man. God thinks differently than us. God is higher than us. God's better than us in that sense, in the way he thinks. Now, he brings us up to his level. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes we can think below his level. We need to think on his level. So, Father, help us this morning. I mean that, Father. I take this so serious. This is not just, well, let's just get through the message and go about our day. No, this is opportunities for people's lives and destinies to be overturned and changed. Maybe people going on a certain path, and you're going to say something today that's going to rearrange their whole life and change their life. That's what you do, Father. So we need utterance from heaven this morning. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. I thank you according to your word that I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Like the psalmist of old wrote, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Say what you need to say. Do what you need to do, Father. We will obey. You are God. Be God here this morning. Talk to people. Hit bullseyes in people's hearts. May I say something that strikes a chord with every single person represented here. And it'll be a sign unto them that you're real, that you love them, that you're supernatural, and that's how you speak to them. But also it'll be a sign unto them that this is a place where they can hear from heaven. So, Father, we thank you so much. We glorify you and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, talking about you, make this personal now, always having all sufficiency in all things may abound or give to every good work. We have a three-year-old in nursery, and Abby has learned something that we need to work on her fibbing. I'm just calling it fibbing still. I can't get over into the realm yet of lying as a three-year-old, but it's getting close. And if she wants something that she knows she can't have or is unsure that she can't have, she'll run to mommy and say, but daddy said yes. And I didn't even say anything, right? Because she's learned, though, that what daddy says goes. And that if she can get the approval of daddy, she can have what she wants. So if she can trick mommy into thinking, daddy said yes, it trumps everything. Well, but even though that's not right, and we do correct her and have to discipline her for that and tell her that's not how you do things, she's learned something very important, right? She's learned that she can't have anything in life above what mommy and daddy say she can have, right? And we looked at that a little bit on Wednesday night, talking about how faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have anything unless God says you can have it. And the way we find out if God says we can have it is by His word, by what He says in our heart. You might desire something and want something, but if God doesn't back it, you can't have faith for it, correct? Hallelujah. And so in this verse here, we see God's heart concerning money. We see what God has set forth that we can reasonably expect to believe for, and it's pretty darn good. He said, and God is able. I love that. That means He's the one that causes it to come to pass. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. What is that grace He's talking about? That you, I like the next word, always. That's a good word when it's talking about your needs being met. That you, this is the grace that God is able to make abound towards you. This is what you as a Christian can expect financially. That you always, having all sufficiency in all things. That's what God is able to do. May also abound or give to every good work. The heart of the Father financially is displayed in this verse. He desires that His children are provided for. He desires that His children are taken care of, just like you desire the same for your kids, just like I desire the same for my kids. But we also see God's desire to bless you to the point that you're not only provided for, but that you're able to give or be generous to every good thing that would come across your plate.
Amen.
Yes. God's interested in His kids, but God's also interested in the kingdom being funded. Absolutely. That's why God wants us blessed. Twofold reason. So you can be blessed as His children, but that so you can be so blessed to be able to be a blessing. That's the heart of the Father. Well, that's God's will concerning finances. That's what we can believe God for. And by the way, that's the biblical definition of rich. Having enough for yourself and enough left over to be a blessing in every good work.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise His holy name forevermore. Wouldn't that be a good place to be? Always having all sufficiency, that no matter what comes across your plate, pastor says, hey, we have a special project at the church. Somebody has to pay for it. And you say, I'm good. I got all my needs taken care of and I got extra. I'll give. Oh, I see someone at the store, maybe a single mom or single dad or whoever, and maybe they came up a little short. Hey, I got the money. I'll show them the love of Jesus. Wouldn't that be good? That's what God desires for you, to be that blessed. Hallelujah. Well, I'll say it this way. You'll never have the provision. Now, it's important to understand because different people are at different levels. It doesn't matter what level you're at. God wants to take you to a higher level. Why? Because there's always going to be more to be done. There's going to always be more to be provided. So you might be in a place of blessing now. Don't shut me off. Because God wants to bring you even higher than where you're at. Why? Because more needs to be done. But you'll never, and I say that word strongly and emphatically, you'll never walk into the provision that God has provided for you through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son until you first are absolutely sold out to the idea that God wants you to be blessed. Until you are 100% certain in your mind that the Father wants to see your every need provided for, wants to see you so blessed that you can sow and give without even thinking about it. Until you are convinced of that, you'll never go forward with the faith needed to get that provision or to walk in that standing. Hallelujah. So today, we're going to find out and look at, this will be the beginning of a series that we're starting, because I had mentioned, it would have been months ago now, I had mentioned that the Lord had put some things on my heart. Because I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it this way, and I don't mean it arrogantly or cocky. I'm just telling you by the word, it is easy to get more money. It is simple to get more money when you do it God's way. I've been living proof of it. When you'll do it the Word's way, It is basic. God does not make these things difficult and hard for us because He loves us. He loves us. Now, you might be in a situation where you've struggled, and you've struggled for years. You say, I'm not sure. Well, let's look at this series and see as we're talking, because I'm going to show people how to walk in the prosperity that God has for them. I'm going to lay it out so clearly. And if in that series, you can look and say, my goodness, I didn't realize that was hindering me. Well, you might find out and get a revelation and be able to change that and sew that hole up that the money's fallen through. I'm telling you, it is not hard to get the provision you need. It's not. It's not. I've been at the lowest of the lows and in debt up to my eyeballs, and I've seen it work over and over and over again. Hallelujah. And the same is true for any promise of God. He doesn't make it difficult. It's just cooperating with Him. So we're going to find out over the next few weeks. Today we're going to find out what's God's take on this. Because there's lots of ideas in the body of Christ that how Christians should be living. Oh, Christians shouldn't have any money, and Christians shouldn't have this and that. And it's better just to live humble on the earth and to struggle to get along. And then when you get to heaven, that's your reward. Well, that's an awful representation of being a child of a king. We don't look at Donald Trump or Prince William and Prince Harry over there, wherever they're at across the pond. And we don't look at them and say, those guys, they should be in abject poverty. They should live as the scum of the earth. No, we say, they're royalty. Prosperity comes with it. You're royalty. I don't know if you know that or not. You're a child of the king. Ooh, glory. Praise God. But there is a cooperation that needs to take place to walk into that. But it all starts at a beginning point. Faith always begins where the will of God is known. You have to know that you know, my God wants to be blessed. My God wants to be provided for, because we're battling TV, we're battling media, we're battling religion, we're battling grandmas and grandpas that grew up maybe poor, that had no revelation of God's word. And by the way, that's why they stayed the way they did. When you don't have revelation, Jesus said, if you know the truth, you'll be set free. But if you don't know it, you won't be set free. And so we need to cooperate with God, but we got to first see that God is for it. Because if we know God's for it, then we can charge forward, go after it. Because if God wants us poor, and if that's what the Bible teaches, we better sign up for poverty. Because we don't want anything that God doesn't want for us. We only want what God wants for us. That's where the blessing is. But if we can see that God wants for us prosperity, we better jump on board with that. And oh, wait till you see all the places in the Word where God makes it abundantly clear that He wants you provided for. As one minister said, He doesn't want you living on barely get along street, next to Poverty Alley, down next to Grumble Lane. No, He wants you living on Provision Place. Absolutely. He wants you living blessed and free financially. Why? Because He knows. Just like David, when they raised up the temple, David said, who here among me? David sowed, and he sowed big. Why? He had it. He said, who here among me is going to help me build this glorious temple? Who's going to give of their own money? God always looks to people to fund His kingdom. Well, when He's raising up buildings and having books go out and ministers go out, He also knows there's a price tag with that stuff. And people that walk by here very rarely stop in with checks. We're going to do the work. And if God's going to increase us to do more, He's going to have to increase our wallets, increase us financially. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So are you ready to take a walk in the Word this morning? Let's let the Bible do the talking. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. But I thought money was bad and that God was against it. No, that's what religion tells you. There's a ditch you can get into concerning money. But 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. Okay. It says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, charge them that are rich. Now, Paul's writing from inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And so he's saying, let the rich Christians know Okay, so now we're going to find out from the inspiration of the Holy Ghost what God thinks about Christians having money. And remember, the biblical definition of rich is enough for yourself and enough left over to be a blessing. Charge them that are rich in this world to give away all their money and become poor because money's wrong. Is that what it says? No. It does not say for people that are in that position that God wants you to get out of that position and become lowly on the earth financially. He gives us instructions. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. What's that? Nose up in the air. Snob, right? My money, my money, my money. We shouldn't be that way, right? So that's one thing he says not to be that. Or trust in uncertain riches. The Bible calls money uncertain riches. Some people, and I see it all the time, put more faith in their paycheck than they do their God. How do I know? Because when something affects their paycheck, their faith goes out the window. Because their faith was never in their God. Because if your faith is in your God, you don't even need a paycheck. You don't even need an income to come in. You got the Father on your side. And when your faith is in Him, you're not moved by a job change. You're not moved by a pay decrease or something rumbling and rumors and things. Because your faith is in the Most High. He said, I'll meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. But most people trust in their paycheck. They trust in their money. Because when it goes down, oh, I got a phone call once, this was a couple of years ago, from a gentleman. The first words out of his mouth were, Pastor, I am so worried. I said, brother, you better change that. Because worry, if you're worried, there's no faith. He said, I'm worried. I got a letter in the mail, and they told me that my pension was canceled, and I'm not getting any money. I said, praise God, now you get to see God work. I don't think that's the response he wanted to hear. I think sometimes people want me to get all nervous with them and get all fretting and complaining. No, I know God too much. Nothing to worry about, nothing to fret about. Now you just get to see the hand of God moving in a different avenue. See, your paycheck is a tool. It's an avenue, but see, there's times in the Word where the avenue stopped. You better not trust in the avenue. You better trust in the source. Elijah was told, go down by the brook Cherith. The ravens will feed you. Well, eventually, the ravens stopped feeding him. He could have stayed there and said, I'm trusting in the ravens. I'm trusting in the ravens. Oh, the ravens, the ravens, the ravens. It wasn't the ravens. It was God giving something to the ravens to bring to him. And then he said, Elijah, go down to the widow woman down in town there. What did he do? He said, I'm trusting my God. The widow woman doesn't look like she has very much, but my God said to go this way. That's why you don't have to trade in your spiritual life for a paycheck and take a job that'll take you out of church because the job pays more money, because when your faith's in God, He's your supply. But people trust in uncertain riches. But in the living God. Trust in the living God. The what? Jehovah Jireh. You want to know how well you know God? What would you do today if your job stopped, your income stopped, and there were no hope of it returning? What would your look on your face be? What would the phone calls to all your friends and family be sounding like? You want to know what mine would be? Hallelujah, rejoicing and jumping and shouting. Why? I've been there a few times, and God provided for me. It pays to know the Father. It pays to know the Father. And he says, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, verse 18. Now notice this. So he says, don't be high-minded, don't trust in it, but that they do good and be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. He says, I don't care that you have money. Don't trust in it. Don't get braggy about it. And make sure you are not greedy.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. It's amazing sometimes as people increase financially how much cheaper and cheaper they get. I've seen it over the years. People that were generous starting out and they got blessed. I've had people leave the church over it before. I've had people leave the church over it before because their tithe and offering went up so much and it just totally threw them off. Here they were at nowhere to start. They started doing it God's way. God increased, 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 and their giving went down, 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 down. Why? They started trusting it. They got greedy. They started grabbing too hard to it. I love it. Caleb's graduation, one of the classes sang, what's that song? Was it the first graders, Caleb, that sang about being a loser? The losers win with Jesus? You don't remember? But their first graders, I think, were singing that all the losers are the ones that win. And the Bible tells you if you lose your life, you'll gain it. right? It's the people that are grasping onto that money, holding dear to that paycheck, sweating it. I mean, their faith is in it. That's the ones that lose. It's the ones that are generous and say, whatever will be. God's my provider. You're the ones that gain. Hallelujah. But that's what God wants you to be. And see, as I'm saying that, you might say, oh, man, that makes me nervous. Well, it just shows you need to know God a little more. It's a peaceful place to be in, to know that I'm not dependent upon a paycheck. Peaceful place to be in. There have been times that we have sown every penny that we have had for months to keep the work of God going and put everything on credit cards, and God's always met our needs. Why? We're not moved by our paycheck. We're moved by the living God. He's too faithful. I don't know if you know, but he gave you Jesus. Money's nothing. Now, let me say it again because that only registered with a few people. He gave you Jesus. Money is nothing. If he was willing to give you Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, there's lots of utterance on this so far. So I want you to take a look at the word. Find out that it's God's will for you to prosper. Find out it's like this, you know, what happens if someone in your family passes away and you got a rumor or you heard that you might be in the will. Well, what do? You check the will, don't you? And you look for your name. Or the lawyer lets you know, or a family member that you can trust lets you know, hey, you're in the will, and they left this, this, and this for you. Well, you go to that will to find out what belongs to you. Well, we're going to go to the will this morning and find out what our Father has said about our money. Because again, if he doesn't say it, we can't have it. We can want to be prosperous. We can want to be financially free. We can want to have all our needs met. But if we don't know that he's backing it, we can't have it. But if we find out he says it, oh, we are in business. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. He's so faithful to us. Amen. But you shall remember the who? Lord thy God. Well, now it's going to tell us something about the Lord thy God. For it is he, it's who? The Lord thy God. It is he that does what? Gives you the power to what? Get wealth. You know what wealth is? More than enough. Material resources. Abundant supply. The Bible says that it is the Lord thy God that gives you the power to even do it. He's the one behind the scenes. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Who was controlling that scary wizard? The little old man behind the scenes. Well, who's controlling the ability for us to prosper? Your Father. It is him that's powering this thing. He's given you the power to get poor? No. He gives you the power to get wealth. That he may establish his covenant. What was his covenant? This is talking about Old Testament people. Which, by the way, Hebrews 8:6 says, we have everything that the Old Testament people had, but we have it better. So he was saying, my covenant with Old Testament people who weren't even considered my children was a covenant of prosperity, just so you know. Amen. Yes, it was. Glory to God. Go to Hosea chapter 2 and verse 6. Hosea is after Daniel. If you say, I can't find that, well, we got it up on TV for you. Hosea 2 and verse 6. Praise God. So we're looking again, what is the Father's will financially? Because I don't know about you, but I have a passion to see people provided for, and I have a passion to see this place be taken care of. Oh, do you know why lots of churches shut down? Because they don't have money to do what God's called them to do. It's true. It's true. You know why a lot of pastors can't do what God has put on their heart? Because there's nobody supplying and funding it. Nobody being faithful. Why aren't people being faithful? Because people don't have money in a lot of churches. Why don't people have money in a lot of churches? They don't do it God's way. They never get told how to do it God's way. Not going to be the case here. I love you too much to hide it from you. Hosea 2 and verse 6, he says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns. He's talking about Israel now. You have to understand, Israel had turned away from him, the whole nation, his people. So that's who he's talking about here. He says, I will hedge up my way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, because Israel had gotten into idols and different things. But she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, which was God. For then it was better than it was with me now. For she, now notice this verse 8, this is God saying Israel didn't know this. For she did not know that I, God speaking, gave her corn, wine, oil, and multiplied. Everybody say multiplied. Multiplied her silver and her gold. God is saying Israel has no idea. When they were with me and they were living high on the hog, they had no idea that I was the one giving them the power to do this. They had no idea when they were multiplied in silver and gold that now they have brought to Baal. They have no idea I was the one behind the scenes pulling all the strings and making them prosperous. God is always interested in making you prosperous. Multiplying your silver and gold. I like multiplying better than addition. It grows faster. At least that's the way I'd know math, which isn't saying much, but I'm pretty sure multiplying is better than adding if you want to get bigger faster. Hallelujah. So there we see two places. He gives you the power, and he's the one behind the scenes that's doing the multiplying. Go to Proverbs 10 and verse 22. What am I trying to do? Drill this home to you. I want you walking out of here. If you're walking in poverty, you're walking on barely get along street, you can't pay your bills, you're struggling all the time, I want you to walk out of here so fired up, so changed, so understanding that your God is behind you, pushing you towards prosperity, that you'll just run with this. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord. What's it saying? What God has to offer. You know, there's certain people maybe in your life that you enjoy being around, that you don't enjoy being around, that you know when you come into their presence what they're about, what they're going to offer, what they're going to have for you, right? And so you know that's what they have to offer. Well, this is saying about God. The blessing of the Lord, or when you come to God and do it God's way, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh what? Rich. You can't get away from prosperity when you do it God's way. You can't separate prosperity from God. God is prosperity. He is in of himself, one of his covenant names is Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord that provides. He is bound by who he is to be a providing, provision-giving God, a wealth-giving God. Praise his name forevermore. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow. There it is again. Just like it's important for me to say this. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. If you don't do it the blessing of the Lord's way, you might get your desired results in whatever area you want, but it will add sorrow unto your life. And it's no different in every area and arena of life. It is included financially. When you don't do it God's way, you can get to a place you want. You can achieve what you want. But if it's not done God's way, and especially when it's done exact opposite, which anything not done God's way is opposite of the Word of God and following the Holy Ghost, oh, the sorrow that is attached with it. We don't want that. We don't want that. So we're going to do it God's way. Why? Because the blessing of His way maketh rich. Amen. Praise God. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. Oh, glory to God. He is wonderful. Now you have to understand, remember he said in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, he says, I give you the power to get wealth. Why? So I can establish my covenant. So I can make known my covenant. He's saying, I want my covenant to be known by a covenant of prosperity. Of more than enough. Well, in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, it talks about a little bit about that covenant. And now remember, you have to understand. You say, well, that's Old Testament. You get anything Old Testament people had, only you have it better. Right. Hebrews 8 and verse 6 says, a new covenant established upon better promises. He's a mediator of a new covenant established upon better promises. So if we can have, if they had it, we have it better. Yeah. Amen. We don't have it worse. But let me just read down through a few verses here and look at some of the things it mentions financially. And it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord God, to observe, to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Now notice this, I like this next verse. And all these blessings, not just come on you, they shall overtake you. They shall overtake you. And if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, which, praise God, we're included in South Dayton. Got a lot of fields around here. Praise his name. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That's all the time, by the way. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and they'll flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command blessing upon you in your storehouses. What's your storehouses? Your savings accounts, where you store things up. Maybe it's your sock drawer. Maybe it's your underwear drawer. Maybe it's M&T. I don't know. But he says, I will command blessings on your storehouses and all that you set your hand to. Praise God. And he shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. All the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. What's that mean? Stuff. You see, God's not against you having money, and God's not against you having stuff. God's against stuff and money having you. Because he said, charge them that are rich not to get rid of it all. He gives you instructions about people that have stuff. And in the verse before, in verse 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Right.
God doesn't want you to fall in love with your money.
Right.
He wants you to fall in love with him.
Amen.
Oh, yes, when you fall in love with him, the money will come.
That's right.
Let me say it again, because again, people must be cleaning out their ears, because that was way better than you gave me credit for. When you fall in love with him, the money will come. It will track you down. You will not be able to run away from it. Woo, glory. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open to you as good treasure the heaven to give the rain unto the land in the season, to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations and shall not borrow. The Lord shall make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not shall be beneath. If you shall hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. What in the world are people and preachers and grandmas and grandpas and TV shows talking about some defeatist gospel, some barely get along street gospel, when the Word just told me I have it pretty darn good being connected to him? I mean, can people not read? This was for the Old Testament people that weren't even called the children of God. They were called his people. But the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, only the ones that have received Jesus after he died on the cross can be called the children of God. They were called servants back then. Hallelujah. I had someone come and do some mulch at my property and clean up some of the stuff, because my goodness, you don't want me doing that stuff. And I got hardly any time to do that stuff anyways. And they were kind of servants that day doing stuff for me. I want them to be blessed, but not anywhere near as close as I want Caleb and Abby to be blessed. Yes, I'm glad they're doing stuff and I want them to be happy in life and to be successful, but not like I want my own kids. And if God wanted that for his servants, what do you think he wants for his children that he gave Jesus for? See, our minds need to get renewed.
That's right.
Our minds need to get renewed. I didn't start walking into the biblical prosperity where I have enough left over to give. When anything comes up, I'm happy to do it. Why? Didn't start walking in that till I started doing it God's way, and he changed. I went from poverty and debt to being victorious and being able to be generous.
Right.
But it happened God's way.
Right.
Didn't happen by accident.
Right.
You don't just fall into it. I mean, sometimes people do, but majority of times, you got to get out of the rut that you're in. And the Word will pull you out of that thing.
Hallelujah.
Psalms 112 and verse 1. What am I doing? Just drilling this home today. Psalms 112 and verse 1. You need to be convinced God wants you blessed, because when you are, you'll go after it.
Amen.
That's like Caleb and Abby. They're just waiting to get mommy and daddy's approval on things. If they know mommy and daddy are with it, oh, they'll go for it, right? Daddy, can I do that? Mommy, can I do that? Daddy, can I do that? Oh, yes, you can. They take off. They go. Psalms 112 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed or his children shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Verse 3, are you ready?
Yes.
Wealth and what? Riches shall be in his house. Ooh, glory to God. Who wants wealth and riches in their home? I do. Sign me up. Put me on that list. And the Bible says it comes through God. God's will is that wealth and riches be in your home. Praise God. Now, if you can say, this is not the case, Pastor Mike, for my life. This series is for you. If it is the case for you, God wants you to increase more because we're going to need you. Hallelujah. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Okay, let's keep on going. Now, I'm going to ask a question. It's kind of rhetorical in the sense that we already know the answer to this. But how many people in here would say that I want to make my Heavenly Father, the one that saved me, the one that gave me Jesus, the one that forgives me freely, how many of you would want to say, I want to make him so uncomfortable. I want to make him so miserable. I want to make him feel like sick to his stomach. I want to make him feel like what it feels like to stub your toe or to get a migraine headache, just an unpleasurable feeling or desired result of feeling for him. How many of you would say, I want to make God feel that way? Well, then let me show you something. Psalm 35 and verse 27. Psalm 35 and verse 27. I don't know why what these churches are preaching. They tell you God wants you poor, that God doesn't care about your money, because we're seeing a whole lot of different than the Bible says. Amen. Psalm 35 and verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad. If you're here and you're newer with us and you wonder during praise and worship, why do they talk? Why do they shout? Why do they raise their hands? It's because that's what God likes. The Bible says to lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It's not that we graduated from the Fruit Loop school of churches, and we're the weird ones that shout and praise and get excited. I'm sorry, but I had season tickets to the Bills from 1987 when Shane Conlon got drafted from Frewsburg and became linebacker there until 1996 when Jim Kelly retired. Last game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, lost 38-35. They were supposed to go to 5 straight Super Bowls. What happened? I'm still bitter. And I saw 80,000 crazy Bills fans. I went to all their games, all the playoff games. I was at them all. I loved it because it got me out of church. That's the kind of church I went to. I was so glad. Church was Ralph Wilson Stadium, or Rich Stadium at the time. And I saw people cheering and shouting and raising their hands and smiling and jumping for joy over a football team. And God's people do it, and we point at them and say, why are they so weird? They're happy they don't have to go to hell. Right? I mean, I want to dance and shout and jump. Oh, I'm so thankful I'm born again. So thankful I don't have to perish. I lay my head down at night knowing I'm His. Ain't nothing scares me. Okay, take me out. I'm going to be with Him. Woohoo! Right? That's how weirdos like me think. But I'm happy all the time. This isn't just an act. Happy all the time. Thankful all the time. Just full of joy all the time. Why? This world's nothing. This world's going to end, and I'm going to be with Jesus for the rest of my life. I don't even care. I mean, I care in the sense that God doesn't want it for me, and it's not God's will. But I wouldn't even care. Give me poverty. Give me whatever. Whatever. Who cares? I got heaven for bazillions of years to come. Eternal mindset, right? God wants to help you. But anyways, let them shout for joy and be glad. So when you see us raising hands and shouting, we're just letting the Father know, hey, we're excited about you. We're excited about you. Let them shout for joy and be glad, my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually. Now notice this, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure. Well, we just talked about things that were unpleasurable. And nobody raised their hand. I said, who wants to make the Father, you know, feel bad or not be comfortable? Nobody raised their hand. Well, the Bible says the Lord has pleasure. What is pleasure? Pleasure is a good feeling. Pleasure is something enjoyable. Pleasure is something that you look forward to, that you're excited about, that you want to keep happening over and over and over again, right? The Bible says the Lord takes pleasure. He gets those ooey, gooey, fun, let's do this over and over again feeling in the prosperity of His servant. You know how you can make God feel comfortable? Get out of poverty and get into what He's offered for you. Oh, that brings Him pleasure. He says, oh, I like that. That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Praise God. Go to Psalms 115 and verse 14. I didn't know there was this much in there, you're thinking. Oh, it's in there. I could honestly preach this message for about 3 straight weeks and just go over and show you blatantly. I could show you through Jesus Christ. Christians think He was poor. He was the most wealthy person that ever walked the face of the earth. Anything that He needed was at His disposal. That's prosperity. You might not be carrying around sacks of money all the time, but that's not always what prosperity is. But when He needed the money, it was in a fish's mouth. When He needed enough food to feed 5, 10, 15,000 people, it was there, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That's rich.
Yeah.
I could show it to you that way. I could show you the Old Testament saints that God used mightily that were the wealthiest people on the earth at that time that God looked at them and said, hey, I want to pick them people. Had no problem with money.
Yeah.
But we won't. We're going to just stop this message today and go forward next week. But Psalms 115 in verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more. You and your children. Who's going to increase you? Who's interested in increasing you more and more? The Lord. That's what I mean. You're increased now. He wants to increase you more and more. Why? He's the overflowing, abundant God. We pour, and our kids pour, and they spill, and we yell at them, and we make them clean it up. God just keeps pouring, and the chocolate milk's running all over the table, and people are getting frustrated and bent over it, and God's saying, that's my flow. My cup runneth over. I just keep pouring, but I already have enough. Nope, He wants to get you more. He's going to keep stuffing it in you. Yep, because that's the kind of daddy He is. I'll tell you, my kid has so many stupid toys that half of them are sitting in the basement that he never even plays with. And does it bother me? No, it fires me up and makes me happy. And when he gets blessed, he just got blessed last night. Someone gave him a guitar from the Olean church. Well, he already has a lot of stuff. Didn't care. I was so thankful. Oh, more for you, buddy. That's what the Bible said. The Lord will increase you more and more. Get ready for it, bud. It's going to keep coming and coming and coming and coming. Because we're going to do it God's way, and you ain't going to regret it. Praise God. Ooh, He's going to know. He's going to know. God is the answer. He's going to know when all the world's turning away. He's not going to move off of God. It pays to serve the Lord. It pays to serve the Lord. Literally, it pays to serve the Lord. The Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. Woo, I'm so happy about that. James chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm almost done, but I'm having too much fun to close right now. I am just having way too much fun to shut this thing down, and I'm just going to pretend in my head that you're having just as much fun as I am. I'm convincing myself right now as I'm keeping going that they want more. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Now look at this. If any of you lack wisdom, what does the Bible say? Let him ask of God, right? Well, what will God do when you ask for wisdom? He says that He gives to all men liberally or freely, and He abradeth not or doesn't withhold, and it shall be given unto him, right? So the Bible tells you that you can ask for wisdom and that God will give it to you. Well, what in the world does that have to do with finances? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I told you we're going to let the Bible do the talking today.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
I say every day, Father, I thank You that my children are healthy, wealthy, protected, and blessed, and full of joy and peace all the days of their life. That's what's going to be the mark of my kids, and that'll be the mark of your kids too. Because we got parents in here that are going to do it God's way. They're learning God's way. They're going to stick with God's way. I'm telling you, the world's going to pull you a different way. Don't ever stray. So anyways, God says, ask for wisdom. And He said, what? I'll give it to you. Well, let's see here. Jake, go up to verse 13. Because to get to verse 16, you need to see verse 13. Happy, the Bible says, is the man that findeth wisdom, right? And that's what the Bible says. If we ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to us.
Right.
Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. So would you say it this way, that God's will is for you to have wisdom?
Yes.
Absolutely, if he'll give it to you. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that can desire are not to be compared to her. Now look at this in verse 16. What's wisdom that God said you can ask for? Length of days are in wisdom's right hand. Okay, but wisdom has a left hand. Oh, I wonder what's in wisdom's left hand. Riches and honor. If God was against you having money, he wouldn't tell you to ask me for the very thing that will translate into you having money.
Amen.
He's saying wisdom will turn into riches and honor. Oh, he's for you having it. He's for you having it. 3 John 2, and I promise we are almost done. 3 John 2, the fun will have to stop eventually. 3 John 2. Are you glad you came?
Amen.
Oh, man. 3 John 2, he says, beloved, again, John writing what the Holy Ghost said to write, I wish above all things, so we know it wasn't John wishing, I've told you that before, it was God saying it through John. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Well, don't you want that for your kids?
Amen.
Prosperity and health? I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
Is that a stretch to say?
No.
Now, we've already concluded, if today didn't convince you, this might, that I'm a little bit different, that I'm a little bit strange, that there's just something about that guy that's just not right sometimes. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade it because I'm going to be a fool for Jesus all day long. Now, this is what I want. When I see this verse, this is my little brain and how it works. The Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper. That means fully supplied, benefited, blessed. I picture my God, my Jesus, around a birthday cake with a quadrillion candles on it because he's so old, right? I mean, he's been here forever. And another year goes by and they add another one to the cake, right? And I picture all his children at daddy's party. And we sing, happy birthday to you, to God, right? Another year goes by, it's his birthday. And he's got his birthday cake. This is what I picture when I read this verse. And he gets ready to blow out the candles. But what do you always do before you blow out the candles? You make a wish. And I picture my father, for my life, standing over his birthday cake with his children all around him that just sang to him, quadrillions of candles. Gotta make a wish, Dad. Oh, yeah. And in his mind, because you can't tell people what the wish is, even though he wrote it down and told us, in his head he thinks, my wish for this year is that all of my children would walk in prosperity. That's what I picture. If that don't help you, nothing will. I wish, that's the Father's wish. He wishes for you. That's what he wants for you. To walk in prosperity. And of course we know Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. That word shall means the will or the stating the desired will to do something. God is saying in Philippians 4:19, I'm stating to the world that I want to meet all your needs. So in closing then, if God wants all this for us, and we've seen it, it is so clear. And again, I could go a week next week. I could go a week after next week and keep this going and drill home the point. I could show you how Christ not only died for your sins, but he died for your poverty. I could show you Jesus wasn't poor. I could show you the Old Testament people and just absolutely blow the cover off the fact that God does not want you poor. But I'm going to believe that the Word did enough talking today so we can go on. If that's the way the Spirit led me, I'd do it, but I don't believe that is. So if he wants us to prosper this way, he's going to have to show us how.
Right.
Yesterday was a monumental day for us at our house. Caleb learned to swim without his floaties on. And that we were excited about that because I've desired for him to take those things off because there's so much more freedom when you can not have them. Because, I mean, I try to dunk him in the water and he just keeps popping right back up. I can't keep him down with those things on. And so But I hear I have this desire for him because I know I can swim. I know how much I want it for him. But if I want it so bad for him as a five-year-old boy, I'm going to have to teach him and show him how. Because we take those floaties off and, oh, man, it was like send out the SOS signal. Oh, the splashing and the craziness and the deep. The heart was pounding. I mean, just the sinking can be. I mean, just have to get there and I'm just, so I got to show him. So I'm like, okay, buddy, with your floaties on, you know, don't, you're not splashing real hard. And we just started with the doggy paddle, just real smoothly under the water. Don't even bring your hands up out of the water. Keep your feet in and get your feet level on the water. Because he was trying to swim like this. And, he's like this, you know, and it just wasn't working too well. So I had to show him. And I showed him, and we had a good time, didn't we? Yeah, we had a good time. But here's the thing. God's going to have to show us. If he wants this so bad for us, he's going to have to show us how to get it. Go to Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Again, we're done here in a second. I promise. Isaiah 48, 17. You don't ever have to worry about not getting enough verses at this church. We are a word church. This is so funny. Last night on the way home, Jake mentioned this verse. I'm like, that goes right along with what we're starting. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Now notice this. Thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God that teacheth you to what? Prophet. He says, I'll teach you to prophet, which leadeth thee by the way that you should go. God says, okay, I'll show you. I'll show you how to prophet. I'll show you how to profit. I'll lay it out in my word and tell you how to get to this prosperity, this riches and honor, this place of being no worries financially. I'll show you how to get there. I'll show you. But I'm going to just tell you right now and warn you. I tried to show him many times how to swim. Kept doing it his own way. I kept telling him, stop doing it that way. Just like you're in the float, when you're in the floaty and you're flat against the water like this, that's how you need to be when your floaty's off. But as soon as the floaty would come off, he'd go like this and start kicking this way and try to swim this way. Until he started doing it the way the master that knew how to do it showed him how, didn't change. And God is saying, I want it for you, I desire it for you, and I can show you how. But are you going to let me lead you that way? He said he'll lead you in the way. You can stand like this and fight against it. Say, nope. I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm not going to go the way of God. He can spell it out clearly, the direction. I mean, I spelled it out clearly. I was doing examples for him in the water, showing him, picking his body up and showing him what to do. It wasn't until he started doing it the right way that he started to benefit. And we'll close with this verse on the heels of that, Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. What does he say here? We love this verse. It says, the word. Remember, he said, I'll lead you in which way to go. How's he going to lead us in which way to go? The GPS, the roadmap, his will. The word is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. The word lights up the path and shows you the direction to go. In his word, he shows us exactly how to get to the prosperity that we need to get to. It will be up to you going forward. We have clearly seen today that God wants for every single one of his kids to walk in a prosperity that is not worried about money, that is not income based on your paycheck and things, that is based on freedom in him, have more than enough to be generous. We saw that clearly today. All those verses. But now from this point going forward, it doesn't matter that God wants it for you. What matters is, are you going to do it his way? And I will come here and I will just lay it out and show you in the Bible. You want to prosper? You want to get more money? Change how you're doing it. Start doing it this way and that will be the result. I'm living proof. She's living proof. And so many other people are living proof of when they did it God's way, things changed like never before. And you might think, I'm doing it God's way, it's not working. Then you're calling God a liar. Just accept the fact that maybe, now this is just a maybe, you might not know everything. Just accept the fact that God might be able to speak to you and say, this is the reason it's not working as well as it should be. Because he's laid out the steps in my heart in this series to show you how to walk into this. He wouldn't have a service like today if he didn't lay out the steps. And I believe that in those steps, it's going to meet every single one of the needs of the people. And every single way that people are going wrong and doing it their own way, correction will be able to come and change will be able to come, but it'll be up to you. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word this morning. Oh, how you love us. Oh, how you care about us. You want us blessed. You want us blessed. You want us blessed. I know it, Father. I know it. And you wouldn't just want it and not show me. You've shown me over and over again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you this morning. We glorify you this morning. We honor you this morning. We praise you this morning. Father, you're generous. You're so generous. And just because maybe a lot of people, I don't mean in here, but in the body of Christ, maybe they're not living according to this and their life doesn't look like this, it doesn't change the fact that that's what you want for them. It doesn't change the fact that that's what you have desired for them and will show them. Lord, we're so wealthy just in everything you've given us, Father. We're so blessed, so thankful. And Father, we're rich the most spiritually through Jesus. I mean, the fact that we have eternity in heaven to look forward to is so wonderful. And Father, the best thing about going to heaven is you've made it so easy. Or just like if a family were to go on a trip to Disney World or Cedar Point or Universal Studios or wherever, they would need a ticket to get into that place. Well, heaven is the greatest theme park there ever was. And people need a ticket to get in there. And the Bible says that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that nobody comes to the Father except through you. So Jesus, you're the ticket. So if I could ask everybody in here to bow their heads and to close their eyes, please, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question, or if you're listening by live stream, if today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? And you say, I don't want to encounter that day or think about that day. Well, that day is a reality if Jesus doesn't come back. And I don't mean to be grim or dark, but you look in the obituaries and that day happens every single day for people. So when that day comes for you, where would you go? I know that I would go straight to be with my Father. For the Bible says that if I accept Jesus, I will not perish, but I'll have everlasting life. Notice the Bible says I just have to accept Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've gone to church. Doesn't matter if you've been a good person or a bad person. Doesn't matter if you've given or if you've been a cheapskate. It matters what you do with Jesus. If you can say, Pastor, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, and I do believe that he rose again, then let me tell you something, brother or sister. You are qualified and you are a candidate for salvation. Don't let the thought that you have to jump through religious hoops or that you have to do all this. No, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. If you say, I do believe in him, I want to receive him, I want heaven, I want to go on with you. I want to become a child of God and experience all these wonderful things that you've talked about today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward, and I won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. But if you can say, I want to receive Jesus, I do believe in him, and I never have formally received him, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus? I see those hands. You can put them down. I see all those hands. You can put them down. Praise God. Five hands went up. What's better than that? Nothing. See, we're not trying to embarrass anybody, and sometimes people are shy. So if you didn't raise your hand and you want to, if there's nothing to be shy about, I promised I wouldn't embarrass you. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus before we close that never has? Father, you saw all five of those hands. And Lord, the Bible says heaven rejoices when one person commits to you. So Father, I thank you for these five people, that their lives will never be the same. And Father, I pray that they would, from this point out, plant themselves in a church that will teach the Bible. If it's here, great, I'll pastor them with all my heart and do the best that I know how to do. But if it's not here, I pray that they would plant themselves in a place that will teach them the whole Bible. Tell them all the wonderful things that you have, because if they don't know all the wonderful things that you have for them, they won't experience them. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you are the one that raised your hand today, or if you're listening by live stream, and you would have raised your hand if you're here, or if you're here and you didn't raise your hand because you were shy, that's okay. The last thing you have to do, it's not just believing, but it's confessing. Well, I promised you, you're not going to say anything on your own or be embarrassed or stand out. The last thing you have to do is to ask the Lord into your heart. Well, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. All I'm going to ask you to do is to repeat after me, but mean it with all your heart. The rest of the church is going to pray with you, so you're not going to be the only voice being heard. We're all going to lift our voice. But if you raised your hand, along with all and everybody else in this church, repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross
for my sins.
I believe that you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I know we're gone a little long, but look up here. Please don't rush out of here yet. A couple things. If you prayed that for the first time, there's so much more for you than just salvation. God has so many wonderful promises. The next step for you is to get a Bible teaching pastor, plant yourself in that church. If it's here, great. I'll promise I'll give you the word and pastor you and help your life the best I know how. But if it's somewhere else, just make sure they're teaching the Bible. Secondly, don't forget, get your kids after this and 5 and 6 year olds. This is the last week. Don't forget that. And don't forget the picnic sign up. We'll see y'all hopefully Wednesday night at 6:30. You are dismissed.